It's 25 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
I can't believe we've only got approximately half an hour to go, and we better get straight into it because we're always delighted to have our good friend Stephen Brown, the chairman of Etion Lawyers, a very sophisticated and mature legal firm that's been around for a long time. And so on behalf of Darren and I in Spotlight, good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Dr. Jim. Good morning, Darren.
Well, it's really great to have you. Last week, and let's just summarise, last week we were talking about mutual wills, and we left our discussion talking about mutual wills and retirement villages, and I think I raised a question with you. Are those two items mutually inclusive? That is, do wills and mutual wills and retirement villages have any mutuality?
I'm stumbling. Which is never very good on radio because you can't see the expression on my face. The short answer is they do and they can, but it's a challenge and you really need to think about it. It can be, I hate the word problem, but it is problematic because you're making decisions now for the future and you're dealing with your own mortality, and most of us struggle with the fact that whilst we all at the back of our minds know that everyone dies, when we have to think about it for ourselves and our loved ones, it is something we really want to put at the back of our mind. And what we're dealing with mutual wills and retirement villages are those really complicated issues of, well, if one of us has to, or one of us is well enough to stay in the retirement village, but the partner needs to go to aged care, then do we have the funds to do it? Will we be able to look after ourselves? How is the retirement village to be structured to accommodate both one living there and the other having to move up the road into the aged care or dementia facilities or something like this? And then the next issue that has to be dealt with, that the parties had to get their heads around, is, well, when both of us go, if the surviving partner has to get out of the retirement village, what are the exit fees going to be? What money will be left? How is that money to be divided? And the answer is, yes, mutual wills are designed for that, but they're only designed for that when the specific clients address these really hard issues, and not hard from a legal perspective, but hard emotional to deal with and to address and to contemplate. It's much easier. I've been involved with a number of transactions, and it's much easier dealing with a $1 billion financial transaction, which has got upside, than talking to a couple that maybe have $500,000 or less trying to structure where they're going to look after themselves in the future. The emotional stress is very much like a divorce. And that's the real challenge with this type of work. It's very important to look at it. And it becomes even more challenging in that when looking at retirement villages, you've got leasehold arrangements, you've got loan and license arrangements, you've got strata and community title schemes, and you've got rental arrangements. So,
Steve, before we go on, that's an amazing amount of things. I mean, the information you provide is incredible, and you provide it with such practical understanding. Can we go through each of those? So, when you're talking about those particular types of arrangements, you're just saying, for example, I'll just say Carl and I have made a decision, and that's on the assumption that we're a couple, and that we're going in with a similar health and so on, that I haven't had a stroke and need more care and a whole range of things. So there's a whole range of complexities there. But what are the various forms of retirement living? Can we just go through each of those? Because I think that's important to understand as we move forward.
Yeah, there's a lot of people sort of talk about going to a retirement village, and that's fine. There are retirement villages, but they come in five different forms of legal structure. And each of the legal structures have their own peculiarities that need to be addressed.
For example?
Now, for example, with the lease arrangements, that's where the village operator owns the premises and you rent the unit that you're living in. You generally sign a long-term lease, and any lease in New South Wales that's over 3 years needs to get registered on the title. So your interest is recorded, but you only have a leasehold interest. You don't have ownership of the property. For example, the lease might provide a redevelopment clause that says that if the owner wants to redevelop, then they have to move you from one lot to another, and therefore you can be moved around from place to place in the same locality. But nevertheless, it is not nice if you're 85 and you're going to move from one unit to another, even if it is only a block or so away. There's also loan and license agreements, and that's where you pay an ongoing contribution. You pay generally an upfront contribution in return for a right to occupy the premises. And you may even borrow the funds to do that on some form of equity release scheme. There are strata units or community title. Strata is where you've got a vertical building that's broken into lots. A community title is generally where it's horizontal. But everyone lives there. It's for people who are aged 55 years and over, and who have retired generally from full-time employment. So if you're 57 and you're still working, you may be contractually excluded from living in those sort of places. And the strata units will have strata fees, they'll have ongoing maintenance, the community title will have fees. And whilst they can be very beneficial, they might have a bowling green, they may have a golf course, a swimming pool. All of the upkeep comes at a cost, and all of the owners have to contribute, just like you would with any strata or community scheme. And those costs have to be paid if you've got the funds as you progress. But often what a lot of people will happen is, to keep the costs and the expenses low, the owners of the scheme will say, well, you can defer these payments and you don't have to pay it until the property's sold. So you're living in this property, the costs keep mounting and mounting, interest then gets accrued on these unpaid expenses, such that when the property is eventually sold on the death of the survivor, where the property might be worth $1.2 million at that time, the expenses could be $900,000, because you've lived there for 10 years and not paid.
Yeah, so these are the different sorts of exit fees that we hear about with retirement villages.
Correct. And I think we probably haven't got time to do it today, but maybe at another time we should look at entering into a retirement village contract and the types of fees that you pay up front and the types of fees you pay on exit. And the last one, just to complete it, are rental arrangements, where a small number of villages offer premises for rent to retired people. And then you sign, like you would with any form of rental or tenancy agreement, and pay the rent as all other tenants do. So, they're all the different arrangements. But, of course, the exit fees, the ongoing fees, and the legal arrangements for two or more parties on the death of one all have to be taken into consideration. So what you really need, the advice you need to seek, is from a lawyer who is prepared to sit down with you and take the 4 or 5 or 6 hours that it really does take to go through this, and maybe on more than one occasion. So if anyone out there is spoken to a lawyer and said, oh, look, I'll put a will together and fix all your retirement up, and it's anything less than a few thousand dollars, then you're not really getting their time or commitment to really help you through the process, because it does take a lot of time and you pay for what you get in this area.
Steve, you've raised so many issues, and we'll come back in the second part of Spotlight. It's been absolutely amazing. We're speaking at the moment with Stephen Brown, the chairman of Edion Lawyers, talking about the whole areas of mutual wills and retirement living. We'll be back after the short break and a little song.
Alive 90.5.
It's 10 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
We're delighted to have on the line right now on Spotlight Stephen Brown, the chairman of Edion Lawyers, a very sophisticated and mature legal firm that provides quality advice for many people in many situations. Steve, we've been talking about the various types of retirement living that can take place. Clearly, seeing someone like you would go through those different types of forms and explain the pluses and minuses of them.
Yeah, we spend the time, we tell people that when we need to see them, and we'll see people either in our offices in the city or Parramatta or Norwest, or we'll even go to people's homes that if they can't travel, although with COVID these days we're doing a lot of work by Zoom, and we say, look, when we need to have a first chat, put an hour and a half aside, and we will go through the challenges that people need to address. We try to work through with them, because my experience is that when you just leave the people with these challenges, they hear them in one ear and then it doesn't progress any further through the mental processing. And then we'll organise another time to go through and work with them, having addressed the particular challenges that are there, and go through with them and say, look, do you need to talk to your family? Do you want your family involved? How are we going to process all of this, and how do we get a resolution for you? And the thing is that there's no one size fits all. Everyone's lifestyles and family arrangements are always slightly different. And we also have to consider, you know, are people looking at retirement village or aged care? Because they're very different. The legislation for retirement villages are state and territory based, where aged care is Commonwealth legislation. And you've got different issues for pensions and superannuation arise, whether you're going into retirement, where essentially you decide how you want to live for yourself, whereas with aged care, it's much more regimented, and it's more a hospital-type setting. And often a lot of the people to go into aged care must be assessed by an ACAT, an aged care assessment team, before you can get there. So there's lots of these issues. And a lot of people who move from retirement village also then need to prepare to the next step, which is the aged care facilities. Well, and
Well, Steve, we're just talking about that, and that's what we want to do next week. We're asking if you'd be so kind is to come on and talk about that in the context as well of the exit fees, because one of the things we're just talking about, just take someone who's 85, reasonably good health in the sense for 85-year-old, and lots of 85-year-olds have very good health, but unfortunately they've got a contract and they have a stroke and they need higher-end care care, and we get a situation where that could formulate or bring to the surface an exit clause, which could be quite considerable in terms of the cost of that on the exit of that particular institution to go to another one. And I don't think people understand it. I think they may make an assumption that they're going to be there forever.
Yes, and some of the I won't say less reputable, because they can be reputable, but the more less transparent retirement villages don't tell people this up front, because they want people to think that the costs are... it doesn't cost you going forward. On ongoing costs are overcome, but at the end, they get a big hit and a penalty is basically paid for the non-payment over time. And whilst the couple don't lose out because of that, the family can, and often the couple want to support the families, that their children at the end of the day. Therefore, it's an issue that the family need to look at, because often the family paying an ongoing fee maybe better so that they end up with this capital sum at the end than having a reduced capital sum. So there's lots of ways it can be structured.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time again. I can't believe every time you come on, Steve, you bring so much nourishment and so much information. Would you be so kind to take our invitation next week, same time, approximately 11:30, come and talk to us about the exit fees and some of those complex issues? Because you're right, that unfortunately, those in that end won't be around, and I say that in the nicest possible way. It's the families that are left with trying to understand and unravel that whole complex situation and at a really terrible time. And I think, as you say, becoming better educated for everyone is a great solution. So, again, on behalf of Darren and myself and Spotlight, thank you for being so informative for our show this morning.
Look forward to it. Happy to help. I'll see you next week.
Alive 90.5.